Hello. Thank you for watching You Had Options. This week I have Dan Barrero on. Good friend. Known him for a long time. He's the bassist for the band Destroy Orbison. Playing Fest this year. Check them out at Destroy_Orbison. Yeah. And check out You Had Options. It's at You Had Options everywhere. On Instagram, on Twitter. You can go to the Twitch and follow it, twitch.tv/youhadoptions. You know, I appreciate all the support and all the help I've gotten, you know, on this program. I appreciate it. Thank you. Dan, thank you for joining
me. What's up, dude? Hi. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Known you for a long time. It only makes sense. How have you been?
Dude, I've been good. Just trying to get through this pandemic like everyone else.
Yeah.
Just trying to live life, try to stay positive.
It's tough, man. It's tough out there. It's easy to be negative.
Yeah.
You guys just put out a new single. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Destroy Orbison?
Yeah. Yep. We just put it out, man, maybe right around about a week ago now, titled Dick.
why do you guys call it Dick?
So I actually didn't write the song. I helped, but it was actually written by Anthony, our rhythm guitarist.
Right.
And I can't really relate all too well to the song, but I guess he had a terrible upbringing, I guess, from his father. So he just has a real hatred towards him. So yeah, okay. he wrote it about him.
And, okay.
So I guess just people that I've grew to hate through work or, you know, just shitty bosses and stuff like that. That's what I relate to. But the song's about his father.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody can relate to a person you hate in your life.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually don't have many people I hate. I really don't. But when I do hate someone, I really hate
them. It's strong.
It's not.
Yeah. Well, you're a nice guy, and you seem to. I haven't. In our time together, I've never heard you be like a total gossipy turd or anything like that. You know.
I could be a dirtbag. Just ask my bandmates.
No.
Maybe.
man, you've lost. You look like you've lost a lot of weight.
I have.
You got it going on.
Yep.
What are you doing?
All right. So I haven't really told many people this. So my family, my coworkers, and my bandmates know this. But
exclusive.
I'm opening myself up to you.
Oh.
So man, I kind of went on a like. Just one of those all you can eat diets where you could just, you know, like I just live carelessly for years. I drink a lot of alcohol. I eat a lot. I don't exercise. I just, you know, live that careless life. And, you know, my doctors have always told me that I was healthy. I was good. It didn't make sense, but magically I was healthy for some odd reason. I just never really, it wasn't a priority to take care of myself. And then all of a sudden I had a doctor's appointment, and then within a 3-month time span, I got hit with the type 2 diabetes.
Shit.
Yeah. So, and I never saw that coming. My doctors didn't even see it coming or anything like that. So, I'm thinking maybe my pancreas or something took a hit. Anyways, long story short, I got it. And so that kind of fucked with my brain. So
Damn.
I went to the diet. My doctors tell me, diet weight loss is going to be key for me. And I just went with what I knew worked the fastest because I'm pretty extreme about everything I do.
Right.
So I actually went with the keto diet
Yeah.
because that's like the most realistic diet that I can do, where I could still eat like shit and enjoy myself.
Right.
And so yeah, honestly, man, I've been on keto for about 3 months, and then at about my month and a half mark, I actually reversed my diabetes. Like I don't
What?
technically I don't have it anymore. I mean, like I don't know if there's a cure for it, but yeah, I don't have it. Like my blood's good, everything's good to go. So and so I was actually, this is embarrassing, but I actually hit my all-time worst, 264 pounds, and I got down to 207.
Damn. Well, 'cause how
In a
tall are
three.
you?
No, I'm not very.
A tall guy.
No, I'm only 5'9". So
Damn. So
yeah, I look like.
260 at 5'9" is that's a lot to carry around.
Yeah, and a lot of people like, I was big, but everyone always told me, man, you don't look that big. Like, yeah, you could lose some weight, but you don't look 260 plus. So I guess I carried it well, but yeah, I guess it was killing me on the inside. So I had to
Yeah,
do
dude.
something quick.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, 'cause I got up to like close to 270, and same thing. I went to the doctor, and they're like, "Man, your blood work is like shit. You need to change something, or you're gonna, have a
Yeah.
stroke, or or like a,
Yeah.
have a." My cholesterol was really bad, and so I was like, "Fuck!" So I did keto for like 3 or 4 months, and now I'm kind of
Yeah.
just—I've changed to like one meal a day, pretty much.
Yeah.
Did
Intermittent
a
fasting
lot of
still.
intermittent fasting stuff,
Yeah.
but yeah, it's crazy because I was the same way. I was like, "Well, I don't think I look that bad," but like, I could tell I felt like shit all the time, and like I
Really?
was eating shitty, and yeah,
Yeah.
just drinking too much and just carrying on being an asshole to my body. And so yeah, starting to work
Dude,
out, and
that was the weird thing about me is that I still feel the same. Like I don't feel,
really.
everyone's like, dude, they're like, dude, you should feel better now. Dude, I actually feel like shit right now. Like my back hurts. I think it's because I'm used to carrying so much weight. Now my posture's all bad. I feel worse now than I did before, to be honest with you. But I mean, my clothes fit better, like my clothes fit better, and I guess I look better. I don't know, but I definitely don't feel better, and it's like that's not normal.
Feel how, like you just like you're just saying, like your muscle or your bones feel weird, or
I think I was compensating a lot before, and I
yeah.
got used to. Dude, I was heavy for a long time. Even when I lived in Florida and we'd play shows with you guys all the time, I was still 230,
Yeah.
240. I was probably just hiding it really well, but I got used to carrying a lot of weight for a long time. So getting down to 207, I hadn't been that in like 20 years.
Yeah.
So now I'm having a hard time like with my posture and like I just my back hurts. I have to go to a chiropractor all the time. So I don't
Ooh.
know, maybe I need to start working out.
Start working out, bro.
That shit sucks.
Yeah, it's not fun, but so you started, all you were doing was dieting to lose all the weight?
Dude, honestly, I have not worked out a single day.
Damn.
It's strictly eating and yeah, I'm a firm believer that I mean, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm not a physical fitness guy or anything like that, but
Danny
I'm a
Fitness.
believer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a believer that when it comes to pure weight loss, I think 95% of it is what you eat.
For sure.
And then working out is how you want to look.
Yeah, man. That's Arnold said, you know, abs are made in the kitchen. So yeah, it's diet.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's crazy. I was going to ask you, I didn't know if type 2 diabetes was reversible or not, but
yeah. Yeah. They said, it's not, there's no lifetime cure.
Right.
But when they say reversible, it's just like the doctor compared it to what pregnant women sometimes get during, their pregnancy. They get that gestational diabetes or whatever it's called, where it's temporary or whatnot. So yeah, I think my pancreas, something happened with my pancreas, took a hit, threw my shit out of whack. So yeah. Well, hey, what are you drinking?
Just Jack.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's crazy. Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of myself, to be honest with you. I haven't stuck with anything like a diet for that long. Yeah. So I usually make excuses.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's easy. Is your sleep better? Have you noticed other things in your life that are better?
I think sleep for my wife is better. She says I don't snore like crazy or anything.
Yeah,
I don't snore at all.
Yeah, man.
So, I don't think my sleep is better, but maybe it is. I don't feel it. I honestly don't feel better at all.
That's wild.
which is rare. Yeah. I guess I might look better in my sleep because my wife says I'm not struggling. I'm not snoring or anything. So, I still wake up tired.
did they have you like testing your blood and stuff like when they said you had type 2?
Yeah, they tested it. Like, so
no, but did they have you doing like your own blood tests like at home, like all the time?
Yeah. I had this little kit, this glucose monitor or whatnot, and they said for me, my diabetes, I barely had it. It was one of those where it wasn't like full blown.
You're
like,
just over the. You're just over the line.
Yeah, so like I technically had it, but like the doctor was like, "Don't freak out, you know," but you need to monitor this kind of. Test your body, see what you can and can't do kind of thing. So, but
in your life, have you like when somebody's like, "Hey, you need to change this thing or you're going to be fucked." How have you responded before to stuff like that?
Terrible, man.
Just being like, fuck terrible. You. I'm not going to.
Yeah. Dude. So I'm going to tell you the kind of person I am. I don't ever believe that bad shit's going to happen to me. It's never me. That's nope. Dude, I'm like, dude, that ain't going to be me. So I learned lessons the hard way. Like you could tell me 1,000 times if I agree with you, then cool. But if I don't agree with you, I'm a dirt bag, man. And dude, honestly, when this shit came down, I was devastated because dude, it can't be me. Right. That's my mentality. But my wife told me, she was like, I'm not happy that you have it. It sucks. But in a way, I'm kind of glad that you have it because you weren't going to listen to anybody.
Wake up call.
So now you got to listen to your body. Your body ain't going to lie to you. So I was like, fuck. So yeah, I kind of had to take a back seat and like get over myself for once and actually listen to someone.
It's tough, man. Surrendering is tough, man.
Yeah,
it sucks,
but yeah, I might not feel better, but I know I am better. So that's
And it's, I imagine, you know, it's tough. Speaking in my own experience, it's tough to tell somebody in your life that you care about, like, hey, you should probably change this thing, you know, because it's kind of like. A lot of people, myself included, need to like you were just saying, figure stuff out the hard way. Like, okay.
Oh, yeah. And dude, good luck telling people our parents' age to change. That's even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I don't know. I think people in our generation are a little more, you know, a little more open-minded and stuff like that. But man, I know trying to tell my parents to change some shit, it's going to be a no-go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. I've been doing yoga, this yoga routine for a while now, pretty much nice. Since whenever I decided to stop treating my body like shit all the time.
Yeah.
Earlier this year. And so I was, you know, I'll go over to my parents' house. My dad will be like, oh man, I just feel like, you know, I feel like crap all the time. Cause you know, my muscles and my bones just ache. I'm like, well, do you stretch at all? He's like, I don't believe in stretching. I'm like, all right, right on. I wasn't even like, hey man, you should do yoga. I was like, do you stretch at all? That's it. And they're like, no, I don't think it works. I'm like, right on. Respect.
Yeah. Dude, I just had a weird conversation with my dad not that long ago. Cause, you know, I mean, I grew up in the 80s, 90s and whatnot. So like, there was no fact checking anything that my parents said.
Right.
So I grew up exactly like what my parents said. That's
law. It. Yeah.
You don't question that shit because it's right.
Right.
And you know, I recently asked my dad, I was like, the fuck were you guys thinking? Like some of this shit I grew up with is just like kind of wild. And you know, he was just like, my dad, you know, was definitely understanding. He was just like, actually, I don't want to say admitted fault, but just like, you know, expressed to me that they were working with what they had. You know, yeah. Like basically the news, right. Know, newspapers and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of their tactics with certain things or whatnot just came from like forming their own opinion, not really knowing kind of thing. So, I don't know, wild times.
Yeah, it's crazy when you become an adult. And you realize, oh, your parents were just dummies trying to make sense of the world too when you were a kid.
Oh yeah.
You're a parent. Yeah. So what
you got two
daughters. Yeah.
I do.
Yep. They're not like babies. They're like young kids now.
Yeah.
What's the craziest, thing going on for you that you've learned as a parent recently?
Well, I'm seeing the struggles that my parents had with me. My kids are not nowhere near, like not even close to, you know, as bad as I was. Like I was a terrible, terrible kid. Like I was one of those kids. If you could raise me, then you could probably do anything in this world, like with a breeze. Cause I was going to be the one that tested you for sure.
Yeah.
Honestly, what I've learned is that when you have kids, the first few years of their lives, that is going to determine the things that they do for the rest of their lives. Right. Like, you know, they're like, I'm like their values. Like for me, the first few years, you got to, you know, ingrain values, like, you know, the things that you believe in, things that are right and what's wrong. And whatnot. But ultimately I'm a firm believer that they develop their personality based on who they choose to associate with. So like, I feel like me and my wife have given them, you know, like the basic building blocks or whatnot. Now how they choose to utilize that with who they choose to hang out with or whatnot is going to basically mold them into who they become.
Yeah.
Like I have the same morals as my parents, but that's about it. Like, right. I'm nothing like my parents. I'm a product of all the people I've chose to associate with all my life, outside of family. So, but I do catch myself. Like, I remember as a kid, my dad used to flip the fuck out and get pissed off. And, you know, I would tell myself, man, I would never be like that. And guess what? I'm exactly like
that. Right, man. Cats in the cradle, man.
It's in the blood, dude.
Cats in the cradle. Blood. Yeah. Yeah, I think what you're just saying of like you're setting a standard for the rest of their lives. I think, yeah. You know, because, yeah. You know, the older I get, it's like, man, people I don't want to be around. I'm just like, okay, like you're not going to be in my life. You know, like I'm not going to make time for you. I'm not going to be like, not going to be a dick, but I'm not going to. I don't want anything to do with you. Like I'm.
Yeah, dude, life's too short to not like to have shittiness in it. You know what I mean? Right, like you just like surround yourself with people that make you happy. That dude, like seriously, that I feel like that is the key to a long life.
Mm-hmm.
Being pissed off and stressed out. And I think that shit kills faster than anything.
It's not worth it, man.
Nah.
Yeah. It's too easy to have like, just haters around you that just kind of bring you down and hate negative people, whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's usually just people that don't have anything going on in their lives that are like of note, or they just hate something about themselves or whatever.
Yeah. Wow. Oh yeah. I've noticed that. I've seen a lot of unhappy people, and I feel like the trend is taking your shittiness and like making other people, you know, bringing people to their level,
bringing them down.
It's like, bringing them down.
What, so you guys are playing Fest this year. Gonna pivot here. pivot the conversation.
Yep. So yeah, man,
it's exciting.
Again, blessed to even be part of the lineup.
Yeah, man.
You know, we owe everything to Tony and the Fest crew, you know, for even considering us. And
oh yeah,
just an amazing group of people for sure.
Yeah, it's fun. There's no other festival like it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of like-minded people. It's for the most part, you know. But it's not all the same bands, same type of bands, you know. There's a good cross section of bands in the punk rock world. What are some of the bigger bands that you're excited to see?
Man, for me, obviously, Teenage Bottle Rocket, that's up there for me. I love the Lawrence Arms. I'm going to have to see Red City Radio this year for sure. They're another band that I love.
Yes.
Another band that is big for me, but maybe not as big as they should be, Tightwire. Tightwire is a band that I want. Yeah. I love that band. I want to see all these bands and stuff like
too
that,
many bands.
But I just,
there's not enough
I just
time.
Know. Yeah. I just know realistically it's impossible to be in all those places at the same time. So, right. Which honestly, I thought like, Fest 18 was my first Fest, you know, like with my shitty work schedule or whatnot, I've never really been able to take the time off to consistently be off those days or whatnot, because those are, you know, popular days for people to take off. But honestly, Fest 18, I was a little afraid with my like anxiety and stuff, being around a ton of people. I thought it was going to be a problem. I thought I was going to, you know, hate it and be uncomfortable. But man, I've never been around so many people that, you know, that's like the same, you know, going through the same shit. So like, I actually felt like everything was perfect.
Yeah.
It was the first time I was able to, in a long time, that I was able to be around a lot of people and be totally cool with it.
Yeah.
You know?
What?
So yeah. It's a good environment.
Yeah, for sure. You know, going to other music festivals that I've gone to, it's not the same thing, because some people could be there drinking too much, wanting to get rowdy, start fights. Out of all the fests that I've been to, I've never seen a fight, you know. I've never seen people like screaming at each other in the street, you know. Yeah. So
dude, it's weird, because I had a good time at Fest being around thousands of people, but I can't even go to the grocery store during peak hours.
Which grocery store are you going to?
So I live in San Antonio, Texas. So in Texas, we have this thing called HEB, grocery store called HEB. And man,
shout out
for me, it's shout out to HEB. They man, they really stepped it up during this pandemic, man. I have a, you know, bigger love for this company. But yeah, man, it's like, honestly, I hate to say it, but I mean it. It's the greatest grocery store I've ever been to. Yeah. And I'm a huge lover of Publix.
Right. I lived in Florida guy, for a while.
And man, sorry guys, but HEB, I love it, man. But yeah, man, it's always crowded in HEB, and I just, you know, I have to go first thing in the morning or super late at night because I just cannot be around, you know. Fest is good,
right? is it 24 hours HEB?
No, I want to say the one I go to is open till 11.
Okay.
11 maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm. Yeah, 11 or 12. Yeah.
Yeah, anxiety, man. It's a real thing.
Oh yeah.
It's tough. It's tough to deal with. Cause it's just like racing, you know, it's just like ratcheting up, you know, that's the whole thing. I don't know. Cause I deal with it and I've taken medication, all that good stuff. But yeah, you know, that's not the like end all be all. It's, you also have to do shit on your own. Yeah. Wow, we're getting super deep. I didn't expect us to get
we are
so deep on this episode.
I was expecting hey, so what kind of alcohol do you like to drink? And you know, like the basic God, questions.
No, that's for this podcast, because I know I've listened to other like punk rock centric podcasts, and it's like very formulaic of like what you're just saying, where it's like, so what's your favorite beer, you know, or whatever, like, what's your favorite fucking Screeching Weasel record? I was like, okay, yeah that's all fun, but that's, you know, I would rather have actual conversations instead of whatever, you know.
Yeah, this is real life.
Yeah,
this is real life. Hey, just remember, not a lot of people know about my diabetes, my type 2.
I know, I didn't even know, you know, this is exclusive to me, you know. Yeah, that's crazy, but I'm glad you're on the opposite end now.
Yeah, I hope I hope people who listen to this that might have it you know, can just gain that confidence, you know what I mean, because my doctor was telling me that most people at our age, they usually just take the medicine to maintain their current lifestyle. And, he told me, I actually motivated him. He said he didn't think it was possible to reverse it that fast. So he actually used my scenario and all my numbers, obviously without sharing my name, but he created slideshow presentation. Yeah. Nice. He said he has to get this word out because, you know, a lot of people think it's like, fuck, you know, I'm screwed. And yeah, you don't have to be that way, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I watch some trash TV, and so I watch like My 600-Pound Life and stuff like that. And it's always like, man, just fucking change something, make incremental steps. But it's always, and you know, obviously there's like mental illness going on. It's because nobody's like, well, I'm okay being, you know, 600, you know, 700 pounds, whatever. So yeah, it's I think a lot of people think it's just like too daunting of a task or too overwhelming, when it's really just like small steps, like incremental changes to
well, dude, it's this,
yeah,
it's the shit we were just talking about. Like, tell someone who's been eating fucking 20 meals a day not to do that shit. Right. Dude, that shit's hard, man.
That's true.
You know, change your life. Dude, I actually, the one thing that I've seen since doing keto is that before, the more you eat, the more you want to eat.
Yeah, bro.
When I did intermittent fasting and I was doing keto, dude, I would eat and I'd be fucking happy, man. Yeah, man. And I was I never got hangry. You know, I used to get hangry. Now I don't get hangry. I'm just like, I eat when I need to eat. But you gotta want it, you know, to reverse it kind of thing.
Yeah, so. it's definitely a slippery slope, and you also have to, you know, you can't make someone want, like, it goes back to saying, like, hey, you know, if you can't tell somebody in your life, hey, I think you need to change, you know, it's they have to want it before they're gonna actually make the actual changes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's like everything in life. You know, you have to want it.
Yeah.
No.
So you played guitar in Destroy Orbison, but now you're a bassist.
Yes.
Why? I'm pivoting again. I like to do that where we talk about something serious and then I pivot to something. So what made you... So you went to bass and now you're strictly bassist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I have a guitar, but I don't really... Yeah, I just... for me, I feel like... bass is more my instrument. I feel more, you know, like I can, because I'm not a very good bass player, you know, but I
can relate. Also singing, I feel you.
Yeah, I'm singing and playing at the same time, so you know, I feel like it's easier to focus on the simple shit if I'm singing and playing than play guitar,
right?
But yeah, man, I don't know. I picked up guitar back in 2006, so I was kind of late in the game. And the only reason why I picked up guitar is because my buddy Roy, who I was in my first band with, Crimson Kill, and you know Roy.
Yeah, yeah.
He was already wanting to play the bass. So I was like, well, there can't be two bass players in this band. So I'll pick up, you know,
right.
I'll pick up the guitar and basically play what he's going to play on the bass, just the root notes, you know, like the basic rhythm shit.
That's all you need.
So I feel like I've always been a bass player at heart, but, you know, I just picked up the rhythm guitar. Mm. So that's where I started with that.
Yeah. You're also one of the most, gear guy that I know of going in and out of different guitars and amps and cabs. I love it. 'Cause you'd like text me or something about a bass and I'd be like, yeah, whatever. And then, you know, I think you're playing like a P bass before, but now you're using Music Man. Which that's all I use now. 'Cause it's the best bass that I've ever played. I've got two of them.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Are you constantly looking for the next thing to change like your sound?
So for me,
what's up with that?
I've had this problem since I was a little kid and my parents hated it. And now my wife is constantly reminding me of it. But, it's one of those things. I'm never happy with what I have. Like the only thing that I've consistently like kept were my friends and my family.
Yeah.
Everything else, like, you know, is so easily replaceable for me. And like, I don't grow attachment to stuff. Like my brother, you know, he got his first guitar and he told me no matter how shitty or how great it is, doesn't matter. That's for life. Like that's, it has sentimental value for him. I don't have that. For me, I see them as tools. And once I find, in my opinion, a better deal or a different deal that like triggers me more, I have no ties. Like as long as, you know, I can break even or make enough to buy the next best thing for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a sickness, man. It's kind of an addicting buying, selling, trading, regretting, you know, roundabout bullshit.
You don't have your first guitar?
No.
Oh.
No. And you know what sucks? I'll tell you what my first official guitar was. It was an Ibanez Art Core. It's a semi hollow body guitar. And it was cheap. It was like a $200 guitar. And this guy named Aaron over in he was in Scars and Stripes over in Fort Walton Beach. He, you know, used to work at a guitar store. And he told me, why don't you get yourself a Gibson? Like get a Gibson Les Paul. And I was like, nah, man, that shit's too expensive. And he said, when you buy something expensive, look at it as an investment, and you're less likely to quit whatever it is that you're doing. So I did. I was like, you know what? Let me sell this Ibanez guitar. I bought a Les Paul Studio, and fuck.
Right.
That's there's definitely a difference in quality. There's a reason people play Les Pauls. There's a reason people play SGs, Gibsons, you know, just in general, Fenders, you know. It's just, yeah. So that was the start of my gear collect. I don't want to say collection, my gear purchasing.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that, man. Yeah. I do have my first bass, but after that, I don't have any particular, like, whatever, need to keep, you know, every little thing that I have, you know, nostalgia, I guess. What are you playing? What's your bass? Give me a rig rundown of what you're playing through now.
All right. So
just because I'm a gear guy, so.
So, I have four Stingray Classics right now.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
You maniac.
Now, so I've currently I have a Ampeg 810. It's an anniversary edition 810 cab, and I have the orange Obi-Wan 500.
Solid state.
And I also have a orange AD200 all tube head that I never use because I'm just kind of tired of lugging amps like that around.
Too heavy.
And it's kind of crazy because the 810 is probably the most inconvenient cab to bring around anywhere, but I don't want to sacrifice the tone I get out of that. But the head, you know, I feel like the orange Obi-Wan 500 is good. It does the job good enough at like a fraction of the weight. So that's what I've been using, the solid state head with the 810 cab. And I've tried different models of Stingrays. And man, I feel like the classics, you know, there's something about that slab body, that two-band EQ. And I like the gloss neck. So, you know, there's something about that really sits well with me. You know, some of the newer Stingray specials, I've tried them, and I just feel like they change the tone too much. You know, a lot of bass players like to sit in the mix. I'm one of those guys that like to cut through the mix. So I'm a huge fan of that zingy, trebly, you know, old school Stingray sound. So that's why I choose to play the classics. They're a great bass. But that's what I play. We actually got a show tonight.
What?
So, yep.
What's your show tonight? Who are you guys playing with? Where are you playing? This isn't going to come out, but before this is going to come out before the show. But yeah.
Now we're playing downtown San Antonio off of St. Mary's Strip at a place called The Mix, which is
that's where we play.
Where you played? Yeah, when you came through. So we're playing there tonight with our buds in a band called Nothing Lost, and also some of our other buddies in a band called Knockin' Chucks. Nice. So we're pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, man. Is this y'all's first show back?
It is. It's our first – shit. This is my first show. I was going to say since Fest 18, but no, I played two shows in January, February of 2020, so right before this pandemic. But yeah, I haven't played anything since then.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
Oh yeah. I feel you, man.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, shit, why do you play Stingrays? Why Stingrays?
So I was playing the Mark Hoppus, Fender, whatever custom, you know, I bought his bass and, I loved that bass. And then I was like, well, shit. Like just like you, where I'm like always looking, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, man, you know, I might as well just fucking upgrade to I got the old Smoothie like reissue, in, must have been like 20, I can't remember when, 2017 maybe. And yeah, I was like, man, this is the best bass I've ever played before. And so I was like, well, I need a backup. And so I just went on Reverb. I bought the initial one from Sweetwater just because they're so good with if something, if there's a problem, you know.
Yeah.
You just, they're just like, okay, well, we'll handle, we'll make you a new bass and we'll send it out to you. You know, that sort of thing. And so I was just like, okay, this is fucking sick. And then I just found the same like gold flake Stingray on Reverb with the same same setup. I was like, okay, well, there you go.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, man. And I'm playing through, oh, I love it. I'm playing through a 610 Mesa, and then the head is a Mesa tube. And it's the best rig I've ever had, and I don't feel like I'm going to change. The head is heavy, but it's not like, it's a little bit smaller than like the Orange or Ampeg. So.
Oh yeah, the Ampeg is terrible to bring around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been contemplating going to like Dark Glass or like the Orange solid state that you have, but I'm like, this isn't terrible to carry around. So.
Yeah. No, I've heard good things about Mesa. I've never actually tried one, but I've heard good things for sure. But
that's great. And I don't see a lot of people playing. That's another thing for me. I don't see a lot of people playing like Mesa bass heads. And so I'm like, oh, okay, this will separate a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I tend to go with the safe. What's safe. Like, I do a lot of YouTubing. So I'll watch, like an amp review, and I'm just like, man, that sounds really good. That sounds pretty safe. I'm not really, I'm always stuck with Stingrays and
live on the edge, brother.
Yeah, I know. I started off playing P basses because that is the safest, in my opinion, the safest bass for the music.
Right. Yeah.
It's never going to suck. You know what I mean? Right. But it's also going to always sound like a P bass.
Right.
So it's,
yeah, man.
Yeah. It's, yeah. But yeah, I'm a Stingray guy, man. I have one P bass because I feel like you got to have one, but I don't think I'd ever play it over my Stingrays for sure.
Hell no.
I just think Music Man, Ernie Ball Music Man, is consistently, in my opinion, just a better instrument. They're more consistent from my experience.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. I've been doing like this lightning round at the end of episodes recently. Are you down to do a lightning round of questions?
Yeah, sure. I'm not exactly sure what a lightning round
means. Well, it's just like you just answer the question. I'm gonna fire off questions and you just answer them.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. What's your favorite truck stop / gas station on the road?
Bucky's.
Damn. I could have answered that. Yeah. we have a Bucky's now, like in Alabama. That's like 20 minutes away from my apartment.
Yeah. I saw that when we were playing Fest 18. We drove and we actually stopped there. I was like, wait a minute, how the fuck did that? I thought Bucky's was a Texas thing.
It was.
It's made its way.
I think that was the first. I think that was the first Bucky's outside of Texas, like in the history of Bucky's.
I honestly, for me, hands down, not like there's. It's Bucky's for me, for sure. Like, right. I have a phobia of using, like having a shit in a terrible gas station. Not Bucky's.
No,
Bucky's,
man.
Yeah, they take pride in all their stuff.
You've got your own stall. It's like cemented. You know, you don't have, you're not sharing space with the other stalls next to you,
Yeah.
I understand that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This might be a bad question then. What's the worst punk rock bathroom that you've had to go on number two in?
Ooh, so, man, this is embarrassing. I refuse to like take shits at venues and stuff like that. So I will usually go somewhere else to shit. But I will say this: I think coasters in Fort Walton would have been pretty rough for me. I haven't taken a shit.
Dan, you got to explore this, man. You got to live a little.
Now I'm a bashful shitter, dude.
Bashful shitter, Jesus. That's gonna be the title of your book.
Bashful. I'm a bashful shitter. Yeah, no, I don't know. You know what venue would have been bad? No, I take that back. I have shit in a venue, and it was horrible. The Handlebar in Pensacola. Yeah.
I've shitted in that same bathroom. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah. That'd be there. You go.
Yeah,
the Handlebar,
see?
Pensacola, Florida.
Yeah,
terrible shit session.
The worst shit session. Oh yeah. Shit! What was your last tattoo?
My last tattoo. I actually shit. Do you want to see it? It's on my calf.
Man, show it. I don't give a shit. Oh,
this guy.
Okay.
So, it's a Crimson Kill. It's the first band that I was ever in. Basically a group of guys that I learned how to play music with. And I know you know them really well. We all decided we went to Vegas right before this pandemic, like February of 2020. So before anyone knew anything, we were partying in Vegas, and we said, you know what? Let's fucking get tattoos. And we never got around to doing it in Vegas. Right. So I just, when I got home, that was one of the first things I did was got my Crimson Kill tattoo. Wow.
What's the most recent moment where you were like, oh, it's weird that the universe has put me here? In this spot,
man. Fuck, I haven't really thought of that. Maybe recently at because I'm a firefighter. That's what I do for a living. Some of these calls, I see people like at their worst point in their life sometimes.
Yeah.
And just being able to talk to them and help them, you know, in their shitty situation or whatnot, you know, and just seeing the gratefulness that they have in they don't even 90% of the time, they don't even say anything, but you could just tell just looking at them. Yeah. You know, they really appreciate it. So I feel like in a way, like, you know,
right.
That's what I'm here to do. Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
Right. Yeah. That's the same thing with Rob, where it's just like, you know, the people that are calling, this is the worst day of their life, you know, and that happens a couple of times. That might happen a couple times a day on a call, you know?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow. Man, we're so deep. This is the deepest podcast.
Yeah. Is it really?
No. I mean, it's deep. It's good. No, I mean, because me and you have a connection just because we know each other, you know, and so I think it's pretty deep, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty deep.
Yeah. For sure.
What is your favorite regional beer?
Oh, man, dude, honestly.
Lone Star?
No. Well, my favorite, I have two, like, I'm a huge fan of Yingling.
Ooh, yeah.
Huge fan of Yingling to the point where, like, when I leave Texas and go, you know, I think Louisiana would be the nearest state for me to get it. But, like, I'm bringing cases and cases of Yingling back home.
Yeah.
I also like Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Right.
Uh, So, but yeah, I'd have to say Yuengling. Yuengling's my favorite for sure.
Yeah, Yuengling's great. And in Mobile, it's super easy to get because it's just everywhere. Yeah. And so going outside of Mobile, it's always funny. I'm like, I don't see any Yuengling here. Like, that's my like go-to like cheapish beer. It's like Miller Lite or Yuengling. And Shout out to Yuengling up in Pittsburgh. What's the most expensive t-shirt that you bought?
Shit. Probably one of my button-up shirts. Like T-shirt? I think I paid like $25 for a Teenage Bottle Rocket shirt. Like they had like one of their they had that shirt that they released like a couple weeks back when they did their live show or whatnot. Yeah. I bought one of their shirts. I think it was $25. It was an exclusive.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What's your perfect pizza?
I'm gonna have to say, oh, man. See, I know this is unpopular, but I like that Hawaiian pizza. And actually, I have some real bacon, not Canadian bacon. I like bacon on my pizza.
Not ham.
Ham's fine, but I'd rather have bacon.
Right. What in conjunction with your perfect pizza, what do you want on your tombstone?
I guess what I tell everyone, don't let my fucking body fool you.
Damn. Big body Dan. I love it.
Yeah. Don't let my body fool you. That's shit. My body fooled my doctors.
There you go, man. You might be I don't know, the perfect human. I don't know. The most human body, you know, the most biological, you know, can defeat diabetes in, you know, in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So Dan, do you have any parting words of wisdom or anything you want to tell the people?
No, I'd say if you're going through some tough times, you're struggling or whatnot, just keep your head up. I'm like the perfect example of, you know, the shit can hit the fan and, you know, you can most like recover from anything, you know, you're just going to have to want it. The pandemic's been rough. Keep your head up, you know, we'll get through this together. Stay positive. Don't be a dirtbag.
Nice. All right, Dan. Well, you had options, Dan, but you decided to talk to me, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I'm blessed to be a part of this.
Yeah.